بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With Allah's grace and mercy, tonight we have completed Surah Al-A'raf, and in essence we have completed the three quarters of the ninth juz, Alhamdulillah. Surah Al-A'raf, the name A'raf is actually with regard to it means a particular station, a station of such people whose good deeds and their bad deeds will be equal. And so they will not be deserving of Jannah entirely, and neither will they be placed in Jahannam. And they will be placed on the station called A'raf for some time, and they will have an equal glimpse of either side. And then thereafter, after some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His rahmah and through His mercy, Allah will grant them Jannah also. Now in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah and the conversation that takes place between the people of Jannah and Jahannam. But not so much emphasizing on that, just two quick points. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when those who are deserving of Jannah will be placed in Jannah, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ تَجْرِي. That after we have placed them in Jannah, we will remove from their heart any kind of malice and jealousy and ill and any kind of ill-harboring thoughts which they will have against each other. My respected elders and brothers, Jannah is a place where a person will be given all ni'mats, all enjoyment. But all this enjoyment, all these ni'mats, all these bounties, and everything, all the benedictions of Jannah put together, cannot be entirely enjoyed if we have ill in our heart. And if a person is jealous. Because a person who is overcome with jealousy, then despite them having everything they might have at their disposal, but they will still be burning within themselves. And our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that jealousy and enmity, it begins to eat away at a person's good deeds. It begins to completely remove a person's good deeds, just like how a razor removes hair. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّهَا هِيَ الْحَالِقَ. It is that which shaves off all a person's deeds. It's not that which shaves off hair, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, but rather it shaves off a person's good deeds. So even Jannah, with all its enjoyments, with whatever a person wishes for, a person just will wish for, and Allah will grant it. But Jannah cannot be enjoyed up until this heart is not attuned, and up until this heart is not cleansed of certain ills. And one of those ills is malice and jealousy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. This has become so dominant within us, within our communities, that respected elders and brothers, people go to what lengths in order to satisfy the jealousy of this. To satisfy the jealousy just to see that somebody else does not raise up the mark. Just to satisfy the jealousy, just to satisfy that envy, person goes to what end? So much so that sometimes a person is even prepared to do things which are completely against Islam. People end up doing things which are completely against Islam, invoke the help of the devil, invoke the help of shaitan, they invoke the help of all these ill sorcerers, these black magicians. And sometimes going to these people alone and believing in what they say, or saying the same recantation or that incantation, sorry, that they say, takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Nonetheless, this is the people of Jannah. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them in Jannah, Allah will remove this malice and Allah will remove all different types of hatred and jealousy and envy from their heart. Thereafter, these people will proclaim it. They will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who blessed us with guidance. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ. We would have never found hidayah had Allah not given us hidayah. And that is for us, my respected elders and brothers, that we would have never been Muslim had Allah not guided us onto that path. Yes, we could say that our forefathers, we could say that our forefathers were Muslim. But respected elders and brothers, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us as individuals who have our own mind and our own thinking capacity. Allah has blessed us with Iman. We could have been born of Muslim parents. We could have been born of Muslim Muslim ascendants. But we could have left that Islam. We could have lost that Islam. So today we are here. Today we are Muslim because Allah has given us that hidayah. Otherwise, respected elders and brothers, we could have been, and so could our forefathers been, we could have been ringing some bells in some kind of a temple and worshipping every odd god, godling or goddess throughout there. Today Allah has blessed us with Iman, that we believe in one Allah, with Tawheed. And that is Allah's ni'mah upon us. It's not because of our own, not because of who we are, but because Allah chose us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to give us Hidayah. That's one aspect of Hidayah. But the other aspect of Hidayah is, even after Allah has given us the big Hidayah, which is called Iman and Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed Tawheed, thereafter to give us an inclination towards good, that is also Hidayah. And that is why a Muslim is instructed to recite Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Somebody could think, because you could place this argument forward, that you already are on Hidayah. As Muslims, we are already on guidance, we have already been guided. So why should we keep asking for something which Allah has already given us? So the answer to that is that Hidayah is of two types. One is, they say, Ira'atul Tariq, and the other, Isal ila al-Matloob. One is Ira'atul Tariq, one Hidayah is just showing the path. We have been shown the path. Shown the path. Somebody comes here and says that I'd like to know how to get to Tesco, and we say go down to Tweedle Street, get to Manchester Road, turn left, and we give him directions, or we give him our satellite. Alright? And the other is the person who comes here and he says, I'd like to go to Tesco, and we say to him, come with me, I'll take you there. Come with me, I'll take you there. Now, which is the safer option? Of course, you're not hijacking somebody. But the safer option is, of course, to go with somebody who will take you right to the point of destination. Now, my respected elders and brothers, one, he showed us the path. Allah has shown us what is right and what is wrong. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ Allah has shown us two paths. He has shown us the path which is right, and he has shown us the path which is wrong. And we know what is right, we know what is wrong. But taking us right to our destination, that is what we are asking in Surah Al-Fatiha. When we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim in Surah Al-Fatiha, we're not saying, oh Allah, just show us the right path. We're saying, oh Allah, take us onto the right path. Take us to our destination. Take us. Ihdina, you know, take us with you. Take us, not with you, but oh Allah, you take us along so that we could reach the right path. And that is why Hidayah is even need, it's also our need, even after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with faith, we still in need of that Hidayah which will take us to our point of destination. Then my respected brothers and sisters, we recited verses 54 to verse 56. Remember these verses, verse 54 to verse 56 of Suratul A'raf. It begins with Inna Rabbakumullahu Alladhi, and it ends with Muhsineen. If a person recites these verses at night, because we are overcome with fear, sometimes at night a person is overcome with fear. And this happened even amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. In fact, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and in one narration it is Walid bin Walid, the brother of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he said that at night I could never ever fall off to sleep, because I used to. Now Khalid bin Walid, we think of Khalid bin Walid, the great, brave warrior, but at night he could not sleep. And he has to be overcome with fear. And we also sometimes be overcome with fear. When we are alone at our homes, honestly, I'm not going to ask this question, but when we are alone at our homes and we go to the bathroom, sometimes some of us leave the bathroom door open. And when we are alone at home, we put all the lights on when we decide just to use the bathroom. When we are alone at home. Sometimes we are overcome with fear. So to eradicate and to rid this heart of this fear, these verses are very apt. Particularly, we can teach it to our children too, and we ourselves too. Verse 54 to verse 56 of Suratul A'raf. One more verse, inshallah, which we can learn. Actually, it's a part of a verse, and it is verse number 126, ayat number 126. It's the last part of ayat number 126. Please remember this here. And it is, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ This is the dua that the magicians had made after they had accepted Islam. After seeing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, completely exposed that whatever they were doing was just trickery, and they saw that this is in fact what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has brought is not any kind of magic or any kind of illusion, but instead this is true. They fell in prostration and they said, we believe in the Rabb of Musa and Harun. Fir'aun got very upset at this point here, and Fir'aun said that it seems that you have planned this long before with Musa. I am going to get all of you, hang all of you, and cut your arms and your limbs in the opposite direction. So if I cut your right hand, then I'll cut your left foot. Right hand, left foot, or left hand and right foot. And that is what Fir'aun eventually did also with them. But when Firaun said that he's going to do this, they did not turn away from Islam now. Islam was now embedded in their heart. You see, that is the effect of being in the company of a Nabi with an open heart for the shortest of moments. They were in the company of a Nabi and two Nabis, in fact, Nabi Musa and Nabi Harun. They were in the company of this Nabi for a short while. And their hearts were open for Hidayah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Hidayah. So everything happened to be at the right time. Just that little while, they fell into prostration. Firaun came out with a threat. Not just a threat, but they knew that Firaun is going to carry out the threat of his. But that also did not turn them away. And they said that, Firaun, you can do what you want to with us. وَمَا تَنْقِمُ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا. You're only taking this revenge upon us because we have brought Iman upon the Rabb of Musa and Harun. You can go ahead. Do what you wish to do. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. This was their final dua. A person who has a problem, and we all sometimes have this problem, where we cannot rid ourselves of a particular wrong deed or a wrong habit or an ill habit or a sin, and that has become embedded and ingrained within us, and we find it difficult to eradicate ourselves or we find it difficult to rid ourselves of this sin, to shed it off. Then my respected brothers and sisters, read this dua again and again, and slowly this bad habit of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rid us of this bad habit. Then my respected brothers and sisters, beautiful verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, again, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's story in very much detail, and Allah talks about the other civilizations also, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with regard to the final Nabi who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send. وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Musa alayhi salam makes a dua to Allah. Oh Allah, my brother and myself, our nation has gone off the track, but my brother and myself, shower your mercy upon us and guide us amongst those who are righteous and give us good and give us benefit in this world as well as in the hereafter. Allah then says to Musa alayhi salam, Adabi usibu bihi man asha. My punishment, whomsoever is deserving of it, and whomsoever I wish, I will punish them. But wa rahmati wasi'at kull shay. But my mercy has encompassed everything. My mercy has encompassed everything. My punishment is there, I will punish whomsoever I wish. But my mercy encompasses wasi'at. In other words, it expands over everything. My mercy. And that mercy I have written for who? فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. I will write it for those who are Allah fearing, and those who discharge their zakah, and those who believe in the akhirah. And who are those people? Allah then explains it. Who are those people? You and I. Allah is saying to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, my mercy I have written it for whom? For those righteous people. Who are those righteous people? Those righteous people who will follow that Nabi who was unvetted. Nabi al-Ummi al-Ladhi, that Nabi which you find, O Musa, in your Torah, and which will also be found in the Injil of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says that Nabi, the ummatis of that Nabi, the followers of that Nabi, I have written my mercy for the followers of that Nabi. And therefore there is a hadith in the Hilya of Abu Nu'aym. It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ أَلَمْ نُهْلِكِ الْأَوَّلِينَ ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمُ الْآخِرِينَ كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Those people who are wretched, those people who are who are destined to go to Jahannam, they will be placed on the left side, or they will be placed onto one side. And they will be placed in rows. And the people who are entering Jannah, they will be placed in rows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that, O Jibreel, I noticed that in the saf and in the rows of those people who are destined to go to Jahannam, I noticed that there is a person who is calling out to me and who is saying, Ya Hannan wa Ya Mannan. O Jibreel, go and find out. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will say to Allah, O Allah, this is this servant. He is not a single good deed of yours that he has ever done in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, but after all, he is calling out to Ya Hannan wa Ya Mannan. Go and find out that who is he calling out to? Who is he invoking? Ya Hannan means, oh, the compassionate one. That compassion which is, the similitude of which is, which a mother gives, that is called Hannun, Hannatun. So that compassion of a mother, that motherly love, you know, but that motherly love, of course, you know, magnified, and of course, in the greatest form of compassion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the compassionate being. وَيَا مَنَّان is the benefactor, the one who gives bounties. مَنَّان is that being who gives bounties without us being deserving of it. In other words, without the person being deserving of it, he still gives bounties. That is called Hanan. So this servant is calling out, Ya Hanan wa Ya Manan. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam goes down. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says to this person, that you are calling out to Ya Hanan wa Ya Manan. Who are you intending to call out? So this person replies, can there be any other being other than Allah who is Hanan and Manan who I would call out to? Can there be any other being who is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who would be compassionate and who is the true benefactor that I would call out to? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam reports to Allah that, oh Allah, the servant is calling out to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the servant who calls me the all compassionate and who calls me the absolute benefactor, and he being placed in the saf and in the row of the Jahannamis, Jibreel remove him from there and place him in the rows of the Jannamis. That is the Allah who we are talking of. And that is why this, my respected brothers and sisters, Ya Hanan wa Ya Manan. Once a Sahabi, he did a lengthy dua in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has these two qualities mentioned in it also. Hananu wa Ya Manan wa Ya Badi' as-samawati wal ard wa Ya dal jalali wal ikram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him, the hadith is in Abu Dawud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him and said, you have just invoked Allah with such names of Allah that your dua will definitely be accepted. Now ask of Allah, he will grant you. So these are one of, and today we read a verse, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah has beautiful names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Ask Allah through these names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Therefore we are told we should try and learn the 99 names of Allah. And we make dua through these 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By invoking, by calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of these names. Finally, my respected brothers and brothers, so many other points here, but I'll inshallah try and conclude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they ask you, in other words, addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you with regard to as-sa'ah, with regard to the hour, with regard to the day of Qiyamah. Ayyana mursaha. When is it going to take place? قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say unto them that the knowledge of that only my Rabb has. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقَتِهَا إِلَّا هُ. He will not allow it to manifest except when its time presents itself. يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. It seems that they go on asking you as if you are going about حَفِيٌّ, you are going about trying to scratch and trying to dig up more about it. Now this tells us an important aspect. We all know that Qiyamah is going to take place. And we all know that Qiyamah is very close. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعِفْتُ أَنَا وَسَاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. That I and Qiyamah have been sent just like this. In other words, following me, being, in other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the last Nabi, thereafter Qiyamah would take place. So Qiyamah is going to take place upon this Ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pinpoint the exact time of Qiyamah, but he told us certain symbols, certain signs. When you see those signs, then you just realize that now Qiyamah is very close. Now my respected brothers and sisters, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us these signs, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell us so that we can go about dwelling in these signs, trying to delve into these signs, trying to pinpoint something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to pinpoint. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that knowledge only to himself. And Allah says it so explicitly, yes, adunaka, they ask you, عن الساعة with regard to قيامة أيان مرساها. When will it occur? قل إنما علمها عند ربي. Say to them that the knowledge of that lies with my Rabb. So this Ummah is not given the task of trying to find out and to pinpoint when will an eclipse take place of the sun and the moon put together, or when will some unnatural phenomena take place. That's not what we are supposed to be delving after. What we are supposed to be delving after, that since Qiyamah is coming closer, and since those portents and those signs which our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, they are beginning to manifest themselves, now the time has come for me to prepare for that Qiyamah. Now let me give you an example. A Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahabi says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَتَ السَّاعَةَ. O Rasul of Allah, when is Qiyamah? So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? When the Illuminati take over the world, and when the Freemasons will be in this, and when economic growth will be at, when everything, technology, etc., etc., and Dajjal and whatever else. No. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did you ask? He said, I asked, مَتَ السَّاعَةَ, when is Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. What preparations have you made for it? What preparations have you made for it? The perfect response. What preparations? You ask about when Qiyamah is, by saying tomorrow Qiyamah is going to take place. Are you prepared for it? So that's not to actually dwell into when it will take place and exactly try and pinpoint. That's not the objective, that's not our purpose. Our purpose is actually to prepare. As our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahabi, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, what have you prepared for it? But these were Sahaba at the end of the day. So the Sahabi replied, he said, O Rasul of Allah, I don't have many good deeds. I don't have many good deeds. I have nothing really to present which is extraordinary. And this is a Sahabi saying that. Can we imagine where we stand? This is a Sahabi, a companion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying that I don't have much to present. But غَيْرَ, except one thing, إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ, that, O Rasul of Allah, I love you. O Rasul of Allah, I love you. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, أَلْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ, if you love me, you will be with me. So my respected elders and brothers, the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will save us from the torments of Qiyamah. The love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his teaching and his practice, and not just a claim of love, but the love of somebody, تَعْصِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُذْهِرُ حُبَّهُ وَهَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْفِعَالِ بَدِيعُ. You claim that you love Allah, but you don't follow what He has told you to do. Then that it seems very strange, that kind of a love. If we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then every practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should become beloved to us. And when we have the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our heart, and the love of the practices of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our heart, then inshallah is hope from Allah. Whatever Allah places upon us, whatever challenges Allah places upon us, whether Qiyamah is at our doorstep, or whether, you know, whether Dajjal is in front of us too. But my respected brothers and sisters, we have the love of Allah, the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of those practices in our heart, nothing can shake that faith of ours. Nothing. No Dajjal could even shake that faith. No Ya'juj and Ma'juj could shake that faith. Because Allah's love, the love of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of the practices of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is deeply ingrained in our heart. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. We'll just say for tomorrow, inshallah, a few verses to go through. And these are verses with regard to Allah's ni'mah upon us. The next two surahs are in fact Madani surahs. They are surahs which were revealed in the Madani period. But there's these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the different ni'mat that he has blessed them and he has blessed the Sahaba. So if we go through verses 63 and verses 64. Two beautiful verses. Verses 63 and verses 64, and this was in fact addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we went through a few verses of the Quran. Anybody could give us a short glimpse of it? I think Ridwan is itching to tell us. A few verses that we went through yesterday. We went through the first, in the early parts of Suratul A'raf. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, great. Verse 26 talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us a ni'mah of clothing. Remember this clothing that we are wearing today? Allah, it's ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's beautifying ourselves also, but at the same time it is also covering our satr. And covering parts of our body is an essential part of a believer. It's an essential part of our haya and our modesty that a Muslim must have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these in verses 26 and 27. Then we went through verse 156. That was the verses which we read today. Alright, so we went through verses number 156. And 157, this was with regard to this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this ummah who will follow that Nabi, which was unlettered, and which we will find mention of that Nabi as well as that ummah in the Torah and the Injil. So Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of living the Quran and inshallah reviving our hearts by means of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.